Three for the Money is brought to you by the TrendCenter app. This is the best tool for sports betting research. The TrendCenter app, you can test betting systems from the past 20 years, explore thousands of existing trends and systems from top betting experts, choose from hundreds of filters to test different systems for each sport. Save these trends and get notified when their systems have games. Download the app and use our code TFTM for 15% off a premium membership after a 2-day free trial. Okay, okay, okay. We're here. We're back. Three for the Money. New episodes every Thursday. If I can upload it to the YouTube correctly. It will be uploaded correctly this time. But yes, we're here. We're back. It is week 11 of the NFL season. And last week I had a negative record, but I went positive in money. So I had a winning record. I went 3-4, and we cashed a surefire parlay. Not a big deal. It was a bit of a sweat there at the end of the Bucks-Pats game. The Bucks had to have a garbage time touchdown as Chris is spilling water on himself. But other than that, let's see what else happened. Colts couldn't cover by the hook. Shit, what else after that? I switched my Seahawks pick from the Seahawks spread to the under, which was a loser. They beat the shit out of the Cardinals. So that was not fun. And then the over in Sunday Night Football was very not fun. And I didn't get to watch the Monday Night Football game because I don't have ESPN Unlimited. So, but that game seemed like it sucked as well. But I had the Eagles money line, so not a big deal. But yeah, went 3-4, won the surefire parlay. Boom. Ready to get back at it. I'm not really too fond of the board, but I don't hate it. Anyway, Chris, how did you do last week?
I did well. I went 5-5. Obviously won my surefire, won the surefire parlay. So that was very clutch. That's our second in the last 3 weeks, I believe. So not a big deal, but we're on fire, but it's not a big deal. Yeah, the Colts missing an extra point and not covering 6.5 sucked. Trying to think other than that. Oh, yeah, the Seahawks. Yeah, I had the under in that as well. And that didn't go as planned. Shout out to Seahawks defense, though. 21 fantasy points. That was nice. But what, Sean? You're muted, bud.
Oh, sorry. You won. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Hey, I mean, they pretty much single-handedly fucked the under, so.
Yeah, good.
You get that. That's something for you, I guess. but yeah, it was a good week. I'm not going to complain. 500 record, but in the green. So we will take that. Sean, how did you do?
Yeah, just want to say, I do want to shout out the Seahawks defense because cash the first quarter spread easily. So that pretty much solidified the surefire parlay. So shout out to the boys. Went 5-4 last week with the surefire hit. Y'all called me a sicko on that Jets Browns over. Easy money. Yeah, we just take the wins and we forget the losses. So on to this week.
Yes, on to week 11. The first game that we are discussing is the Bears at the Vikings. The Vikings are favored by 3. It is a bit difficult for me to get a pulse on this game, but I do have a pick. I'm not confident in it because it feels like either side, it's very hard to throw money at this. That being said, looking at just the past matchups between these two teams, as well as the past 10 weeks of the season. It just kind of feels like when the Bears win, they win big. When the Vikings win, they don't win big, except for they beat the shit out of the Bengals. But I mean, it kind of seems like everyone's kind of doing that either way. So I'm going with the Bears +3 here. I don't feel confident, but it feels like I'm making the right move. But obviously, going first, I can look like a big dumb moron, a big dumb stupid idiot. So, Chris, what do you think about this game?
I got the opposite. I'm on Vikings -3. I know the Bears are 6-3. I don't think they're a very good team. I mean, let's look who they beat: Giants, Bengals, Saints, Commanders, Raiders, and Cowboys. That was a decent one, but every other team sucks ass. And then whenever they play a good team, they tend to lose like they did against the. Oh, they got their shit pushed in by the Lions. They lost to the Vikings. I just don't think they're a good football team. So the Vikings, I'll say, are not the best, but they need a win. They can't go two games under 500 and in week 11. You're pretty much done at that point. Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings. You said looking at the past matchups of these teams, Minnesota's 8-3-1 against the spread in the last 12 against Chicago. So I like that to continue here. Vikings get the win, covered by 3. Sean, do we have a tiebreaker?
No.
All right.
Oh, yes, we do have a tiebreaker. Sorry. I'm on the Vikings one. It took me a second to realize what you meant. But yeah, pretty much ditto everything you said. Bears 6-3, Vikings 4-5. I don't think these records really reflect the team. Like you said, Chris, they just kind of bully the bad teams. They beat the Giants last year with no Scadaboo, or last week. No Scadaboo, no neighbors. Jackson Dart went down. So obviously the consequence for that is Brian Daboll gets fired. So yeah, just had a, sorry, you had to catch a stray there, Brian.
Big fan of
But
the show.
I big fan of the show, Future Titans OC, just saying. But they might be back. But I mean, the Vikings haven't been playing bad. They just haven't been playing well. But I think Caleb Williams is he is allergic to winning games against the Vikings. He's 0-3. I know he's been in the league for a year and a half. 0-3 straight up and against the spread. And just if you faded Bears divisional opponents since 2019, you'd be up 14.5 units. Just saying, 22-7-1 all time. So it's Vikings -3.
Okay. I'm gonna keep my pick. I kind of like it. It feels like it's gonna be like it's either gonna be I'm gonna look like the smartest man in the world or a big dumb idiot. And sometimes towing that line is kind of fun. Also the Bears, it feels like in their wins, they are very close. Shit, I had this ready in my head. But the last time they two met, the Vikings only won by 3, so I'm taking +3. I'm seeing a little bit of value there, but I don't know. Who's to say? Anyway, moving on. Bucks at the Bills. The Bills, not looking great these days. The Bucks, kind of also not looking great, but scoring a lot of points. The Bills, they're 2-3 in their last 5, which is not good. And the Bucks, I mean, they're injured heavily, but they are able to kind of keep up with teams. The Bake Show magic. But yeah, I'm gonna let Chris go first on this one.
Give me the Bucks all day. If Baker Mayfield is a road dog, I'm going to bet on him because all he does is cover. Stat from our friends at the Trend Center: he is 14-3 against the spread the last 2 years as a road underdog. So, Bucks +5.5 all day. Buffalo's defense is not good. I know they're beat to shit, so it's not their fault. But I mean, they can't stop. I mean, they made the Dolphins look like world beaters last week. So I don't think. I know Tampa Bay is banged up on offense as well, but they still got some weapons. They got Ibuka, Tez Johnson, still a very good, or may not very good, is a quality wide receiver. I think Bucks keep it close. I was thinking maybe sprinkle money line, but the Bills are pissed off after last week. So I'm going to stay away with that. I'm just going to take the points. Another stat from the Trend Center. I thought this was just kind of interesting. The last 30 years in week 11, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 25-5 against the spread.
Wow.
Thought that was a little juicy nugget. So, yeah, that plus Baker, road dog. Yeah, Bucks plus 5.5 all day. Will, what do you think?
Based on the past 10 weeks of this show, I'm going to let you guess.
Over.
Yes, yeah, just the over. Yeah. It's over 47.5. It feels like. I mean, the Bills' defense is beat up. It feels like they're kind of always beat up year after year. So for them to win games, they kind of have to go God mode. But that being said, the Bucks' defense is not very good either. And I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record just repeating myself. It feels like Bucks overs are just a cash cow for me. So, I mean, I'm going to keep riding them. Sean.
Yes.
What do you have?
Okay. Going with the Bucks plus 5.5, Bills fraud watch. I mean, they should honestly already be put in this category, but, I'll give them that division games can get weird. I'll give them that. And the Bucks nearly pulled that game off against the Pats at the end, but it's the past. We're going to move on. And 5.5 is a weird spread. It's a very not football spread.
Mm-hmm.
And also, thanks to our friends at the Trend Center, there's a perfect stat for this called NFC versus AFC weird spread. Pretty self-explanatory, but the spread has to be between 4-6. And the underdog, in this case, the Bucks, is 21-6-2. Love this stat. And also, this is the first regular season meeting of Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. Isn't that wild?
Wow. That is crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
I get, yeah,
they played like once in the preseason, but they've never met in the regular season or playoffs.
Interesting.
So I kind of like that. So, yeah. You know, get a little competition, go get them button heads a little bit. That's my pick.
Oh, okay. We're good. Oh, okay. All right. Moving on. All right. Next game. Talking about the Seahawks at the Rams, divisional matchup. The Rams are favored by 2.5. Over/under is 48.5. I will take the lead on this divisional matchup. It feels like both of these teams are really good teams. It feels like they both have like both top 10 defenses, but it also kind of feels like that whenever they get towards the end of games, they just kind of play with their food a little bit. Well, I mean, we saw that last week with the Seahawks, just letting 22 points happen by the Cardinals. So that was not fun if you had the under in that game. And then sort of, I guess, same thing with the Rams game last week, the Rams and the 49ers. I did not have the under in that game. I had the Rams, but the 49ers did not give up, and the Rams, it seems like, kind of did, kind of didn't. It's tough to say. But all that being said, I am taking under 48.5 in this game. If both of these defenses show up, play a full 60, I think the potential for this game, it could be a rock fight. So that is what I'm doing, under 48.5. Sean, what do you think about Seahawks-Rams?
Yeah, I'm going Seahawks money line. straight up on the road. And Mike McDonald, dog on the road. I don't know if you guys knew his game on the road. He's got that road game.
I'm familiar.
11-1 all time. Amazing. Love it. I think this is like the, this should, is if Bronco is Broncos Chiefs game of the week.
Probably.
I don't probably
because
I wish it wasn't, but
the Cowboys play Monday.
So it's either true. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's either Cowboys, Chiefs, or like the Eagles every week. So
call a spade here.
Yeah.
But this should be game of the week. Like this is like the best matchup we have all Sunday. And I kind of like the resurgence of Sam Darnold, to be honest. I think it's fun. And I want this team to have fun and beat the other team real bad. So,
real bad.
Yeah. Give me Mike McDonald and Sam Darnold on the road versus the Rams. Chris, what you got?
Completely agree. For every reason you just said. Like, that's everything I had written down. I love the Seahawks team. I've bet on them a lot this season, so I'm just going to keep doing it, especially when I get a plus sign next to them. Mike McDonald, 11-1 on the road. I'm just going to bet it until the wheels fall off. I mean, Sean pretty much took everything I was going to say. So, yeah, Seahawks money line.
Okay. I might switch my pick because of the reason I said before. It feels like the games these two teams play accidentally go over. So I'll think about that. Moving on, Chiefs at the Broncos. The Broncos are home underdogs by 3.5 points. The Chiefs, I believe they're coming off a bye. Potentially fully back to being the world beaters that they are. The Broncos, there's a lot of terms you could use to describe the Broncos. Frustrating being one of them, if you're me. The other one being scrappy. It feels like this team is just very scrappy, and it feels like they can kind of win when they need to. And it's not pretty, but, you know, some people say it's beautiful. They're not my team, so I won't say that. I don't know. This is a tough one. Divisional matchup. Chiefs are back, but Broncos have a plus sign. This game had me in a pretzel. Sean, what do you think about this game?
Going with the under. Divisional matchup. Love it. Broncos are just totaling a – when a Bronco – when they play – shit. I got this. Broncos are averaging just 38 points per game. Total. They have a tight defense. Patrick Surtain might be out. They held the Chiefs last year to 16 points. Under is 4-0 in the last two matchups. Or last 2 years, sorry. More so, like, the Broncos are just, like, quietly the best team to bet an under on. 7-3. Chiefs right behind them at second, going 6-3. Also, turning to our friends at the Trend Center for this one. When Mahomes comes off the bye or an extended rest of 8 days or more, the under is 13-4-1. So give me the under 44.5. Will, what you got?
Fuck. I don't know. It's just like the under is calling my name, but it's just like this. It just feels like this is a movie I've seen before where the Chiefs go up by 20 and then the Broncos come back in the second half and they somehow win. And it's like, well, if they're down by 40, then it's like, it's definitely going to go over. And so like, it feels like in my head, I can't win, but I think I'm going to ride the under. I kind of hate it. I kind of hate this game. I got to be real. I hate this game. I'm gonna watch it, obviously, but I'm going with the under 44.5. Chris?
I mean, I don't like doing this, but I'm taking the Chiefs -3.5. I don't think Denver is nearly as good as their record says they are. I know they're on a 7-game win streak, I believe. But, I mean, it's kind of similar to the Bears. Let's look who they beat. They need a miracle comeback against the Giants. They won a few slap fights against the Jets, the Davis Mills-led Texans, and the goddamn Las Vegas Raiders. I just don't think they're that good. And like you said, Will, Kansas City coming off a bye. Andy Reid is obviously great coming off a bye. He is 22-4 straight up coming off a bye in his career. Pretty fucking good. And another tidbit from our friends at the Trend Center, road favorites coming off a bye. So when a team is coming off a bye playing on the road and they are favored, they are 45-22-3 against the spread in the last 70 games. Damn. That's a lot. So, yeah, the Chiefs are back. They went away for, I guess, like a quarter of the season, but they're fucking back. Just make money. It sucks, but just make money off it when you can. Chiefs -3.5.
Yeah. Those small Chiefs spreads are like, that's where you get them. I hate this game. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. Next game, Sunday night football.
Real quick, are you definitely taking the under?
Yeah.
Okay. It didn't seem like you were very confident.
I'm not confident in anything in this game.
All right. All right. That's inspiring for the folks.
I haven't had a lot of winning weeks this season.
Believe in something.
I've had a few winning weeks, but only a few. So I don't know. Moving on. Next game, NFC matchup, Sunday night football. Should be a banger. Lions at the Eagles. Eagles are favored by 3. Eagles won a rock fight against the Steelers on Monday night football. The Packers, sorry. That Steelers game was a rock fight for, I mean, 3 quarters, but sorry. Anyway, yes, the Packers and the Eagles was a rock fight. Not fun. Kind of glad I didn't watch it, but I'm glad I won my bet on the Eagles. That being said, it feels like the Lions get up for these games. And with that, I'm taking Lions +3 right here. It feels like there's kind of something wrong going on with the Eagles. I can't really quite put my finger on it. It's kind of like, dude, you're in this big NFC matchup on Monday Night Football, and like you can't beat a team more than 3 points. And it's like, yeah, I guess the defense showed up, but it's kind of like, hey, man, you got to put it together. You got to put it together in all phases here. The Lions have had a little bit of a rocky start at the beginning of the season, but they're still the Detroit Football Lions. Not the bad ones that we've known for 60, 70, 80 years, but the good ones. So I'm going with Lions plus the points here, +3. Chris, what do you think about this game?
I hate to do this, but I'm taking under 46.5. Eagles offense, yeah, just does not look good. I don't really know what exactly is the problem, but it seems like everyone is just kind of stuck in the mud on that side of the ball. I know they got some injuries on the offensive line, but still. And on the same, or on the flip side, I guess you could say, the Lions offense not been great the last month or so. I know they just beat the shit out of the Commanders, but the Commanders don't play defense, so I think you can kind of throw that one out. Other than that, I mean, they lost to the Vikings. They scored a garbage time, I won't say garbage time, but a touchdown at the very end to kind of make their offense look a little bit better. Then they kind of got stifled by the Chiefs, and they only put up 24 points against the Bucks, And the Bucks defense is not exactly like the steel curtain out here. I know Detroit's defense dominated that game, so they did what they had to do, but I think this game's going to kind of stink. I hate to say that with this Lions team, but I just don't see I don't see either team scoring in the mid-20s, so I'm going to take under 46.5. Hate to be a wet blanket, but that's what I'm feeling. Sean, what do you take?
I'm right there with you, bro. So don't feel alone. Just pretty ditto to everything you just said. Like, you just laid it out just so well. I mean, if the Eagles had trouble against the Packers defense on Monday, like, they're kind of in for, you know, a little bit of an upgrade this coming Monday. So, and like you said, like, the Lions, they win, but they also just beat the shit out of, like, really bad teams. And, you know, they lost to the Chiefs and the Vikings, and it's like, those aren't really bad teams, and they really couldn't – I know that Vikings game was close, but that Chiefs game was nowhere close. And I'm pretty sure that went under as well. So,
yeah, it was like 30-14, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. But, I mean, that's – how many points is that? That's 47.
44.
That's 44. It was 30.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, yeah. Give me the
do end. It again.
Let's do it again.
Hell yeah. There we go. That's the main slate of games. Now we are moving on to everyone's favorite segment of the week, the surefire double unit plays of the week. We are 2-3 on surefire parlays in the last – no, not 2-3.
2-1.
2-1 in the last three surefire parlays, looking to continue the pattern of winning. So, I don't want to go first. Chris, I want you to go first.
All right, gladly. This game we already talked about, taking Seahawks, money line, double unit. Like I said, I fucking love this team. I think they could be a potential Super Bowl contender. I mean, their defense is one of the best in the league that just nobody is talking about. And obviously, everything we said earlier, Mike McDonald on the road, 11-1 straight up ever. Also, this is a good stat from Trend Center. Since 2019, Sam Darnold is 16-5-1 against the spread when playing a defense that is allowing less than 20 points a game. So he can keep it close with these good defenses. I just think they win this game outright. I know it's on the road, but the Rams have no home field advantage. They just don't, and the Seahawks fans will travel. So it kind of begs the question, what would this line be if it was in Seattle? Pick them? Seahawks
slight favorite.
1.5, 2-point favorites. So I think this is pretty much going to be a quasi home game for the Seahawks. So yeah, money line. Double unit. Let's fucking win another
let's
one.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah. let's just keep winning. Will, what do you got?
This game is a stinker.
Oh.
It is the Ravens Browns under 39.5. These AFC North matchups are a bit tricky, but it feels like the Ravens are back, or they kind of have to be in order to stay competitive in their division. So my outlook on this game is the Ravens are going to score between 20 and 30 points, and the Browns are going to score very much less than 30. Not 30, 10, because the Browns on offense are dog shit.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
yes. And the Ravens are getting healthier on defense, and they're showing up in these games. The Ravens-Vikings game went under last week, which was not fun for me, but it feels like the Ravens are back, slowly getting back into form. The Ravens can beat the shit out of the Browns, and this game still go under. They have to play a complete game. They got to be locked in, And I think this game goes under. I feel it's under 39.5. It's low, which means it feels right. And so I'm going under 39.5. Sean, what do you got?
First off, before I get into it, I just want to say what a terrible loss for the Jags last week, leading 29 to 10 by 19 points, entering the fourth quarter to just turn around and lose like that. Oh my God. Awful. Terrible. I looked this up. I saw this stat. In the last decade, teams who led by 19 points entering the fourth quarter covered 97% of their games when the line was either -3 or less, or as an underdog. And they were 149-1 against the spread. Do you know what that one is? It's really easy.
Was it the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, it was
Was it
the it was
Titans Browns
no,
a few years ago?
was it
Falcons
Chargers?
Patriots, Falcons
Oh,
Patriots Super
I was
Bowl.
thinking regular season. Yeah, that makes
Yeah.
sense.
So, yeah. But yeah, that's the only other one besides the one that just happened. Love to see
Damn.
it.
So the Texans are going to the Super Bowl.
Not saying that.
Sure.
But since 2019, teams after blowing a 14-point lead entering the fourth quarter of their previous game are just 5-13 against the spread and 6-12 against the spread. So I guess the question this week is, can the Jags finish this game? Because this season, Jacksonville is 2-7 against the spread in the fourth quarter, tied for the worst mark in NFL history. And at home, they are 1-4 in their fourth quarter against the spread. So my official surefire double unit play of the week is the Los Angeles Chargers, fourth quarter spread, -1.5.
Whoa.
+125.
Fucking love that.
I like doing these weird ones. I've been doing a couple like first half here and there, but I see a lot of value in this. And if we already got the Seahawks money line,
That's plus money.
this is going to be a good surefire pick. Let's just build it right now.
Let's
What
see. What -1.5?
Fourth quarter, minus one
fourth
and a
quarter
half.
-1.5.
Fourth quarter minus. Wow. Might want to.
Where's the Ravens game? I can't. Oh, there it is. Okay. And then Seahawks.
Is that's crazy. Might want to lock this in now. It feels like
Plus 918 on
that's
Schmanschmool.
our highest one so far.
By a lot.
By a lot.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to lock this in right
Yep.
now.
Yep.
Let's go.
Chargers. I really love our surefire parlay this week, just for what it's worth. I love it every week, but I kind of really like it this week.
Love getting sicko with it. That's awesome.
Hey, man.
That's
We
fantastic.
I'll have to lock that in later.
we're called sharp bettors, Chris.
Yes,
Not we're not
obviously.
we're not sickos. We're sharp bettors.
They don't just give anyone a podcast.
You can be a sicko and a sharp bettor. There's not mutually exclusive.
All right. I'm gonna lock that in later. I couldn't find it in 2 minutes, so I'll have to do a deeper dive. Anyway, moving on. That's the surefire plays of the week. Why don't we just win again?
I don't see why not.
I don't
I
know. Yeah, I
don't
think we
either.
are.
Yeah. Plus 9 something.
Nine
Moving
eighteen.
on. 918. Moving on. Extra plays of the week. I have one. And I'll just start off. This one, I'm gonna get a little silly. It's the Bengals Steelers over 48.5. It feels like Big Daddy Joe Flacco hasn't heard that bell ring yet. And he's in these super high scoring games now. So it just feels natural to bet the over in this game. The Steelers defense is not, it's definitely not what we thought it was. This is a divisional game, so weird shit can happen, but I'm hoping that that weird shit is, it just becomes a shootout. And I mean, the Bengals defense is total ass. If Aaron Rodgers can't score at least 20 points against this defense, then what are we? He should quit. He should quit. He should just hang him up. Because Joe Flacco can. And he will. He will. This game will go over 48 and a half. That's my only play. Sean, what are your extra plays?
Yes, I also have the Bengals Steelers over.
Excellent.
They shot it out last time. Like I what was that? Like it, I think
35, 33, or 33,
it was
31,
something. It was
something
like
like
in the
that.
70s, I think.
Yeah, it
So,
was.
but yeah, Joe Flacco, he's 4-0 in his last four starts on the over. And when he starts, that over is going. It's going over by 22.5 points. Like it's like astronomical. These overs should be just boosted to the moon, but they're not. So get them while they're hot. I think that's it. I did a lot of research on that, my surefire parlay, so I don't have a lot of other extra plays, but I did write that one down as well. So that's my only one. Check X for what's happening.
It's the everything app.
Chris, what are your extra plays?
Right. We're going across the pond for the first one. Where's this? Spain?
Oh, yeah,
Madrid.
that's right.
Madrid. Dolphins minus 2.5. The Commanders have given up. They don't give a shit. Especially on defense. Their defense is just non-existent. And the Dolphins, I mean, they're a bad football team. But their offense still got some dudes on it. And if Tua can just not be a fucking dipshit, I think they win this game easily. And I think it's going to be hard for this defense to make him look like a dipshit. I really hope so. So Dolphins minus 2.5. Yes.
I'm adding that, and it's kind of like if the Commanders aren't in kind of tank mode right now, then it's like, well, what are you really doing here? It feels like you really
Yeah.
don't they don't really have a chance to make the
No.
playoffs. So it's kind of
Oh, they
like,
don't
yeah.
have it. No, they're done.
So and the Dolphins, I mean
McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel, I mean, he's coaching for his job, so I mean, I have to have a bet for the Madrid game. It's the only game going
You
on.
have to.
So there we go.
Yeah. Dolphins minus 2.5.
I'm adding that
Let's
too.
go. All right. Next
I
one.
just looked up some stuff, but yeah, I got it. Okay.
Next one. Similar thought process to y'all. I'm taking Bengals plus 5.5. The Steelers defense is not good. The Bengals defense cannot stop anything, but like y'all both said, their offense will probably score at least 35 points. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do that. I know Cincinnati's defense is terrible, but I just don't think this Pittsburgh offense has it in them. If DK, like you just have to stop DK Metcalf. No one else on this offense can really do anything. So Bengals plus 5.5. Texans, Titans over 39.5. Just Titans over the rest of the season. Doesn't matter. I don't care. CJ Stroud, Davis Mills, over. This whoever is playing the Titans defense will make them look like a Hall of Famer. So over 39.5. And then last one, Cowboys minus 3.5. Las Vegas is terrible. Dallas desperately needs a win and kind of a convincing win to just prevent an utter tailspin for this season. So, yeah, I think they beat the shit out of the Raiders. It's not that hard to do. Most teams do it. So, yeah, Cowboys minus 3.5. And that is the card.
All right, that's the card. The Cowboys did also get Quinnen Williams.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'll also probably bet on the Cowboys because I mean
I think
it's
I'm
Monday.
just going to take the rest of Chris's card, to be honest.
It's a lot of pressure.
I mean,
those two other picks, I
No,
think I'm just going
yeah,
to take
I love
those.
it. I have to have a pick for the games that are the only games that are on. So
Dolphins, what Commanders, standalone football game.
Yeah, I mean, prime time. Anyway, moving on. I mean, that's all of our cards. Let me think. Other shit that's happened around the league. I mean, Brian Daboll got fired, which is, I mean, if you give him shit, then like you're gonna get shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, the writing's been on the wall for a long time. I feel like it's pretty much the last two or three seasons. I still think he's a good coach.
Dude, like if Scataboo and Neighbors didn't go down, he'd still probably have his job. Like,
yeah, I think they'd be like a decent football team if they were healthy.
Yeah, like it's you give them shit, you're gonna get shit.
I know we said future Titans OC, or Sean said that at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't hate future Titans head coach. I would rather have someone with a more proven track record, like Mike McCarthy. Yeah. But I wouldn't, if it was announced tomorrow, I'd be like, you know what? Fine. I still think he's a good head coach. made the playoffs with this shitbag team in his first season. So I think he's a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Won a playoff game, beat the Vikings.
Damn.
I just remember.
Yeah.
That was the year the Vikings were incredibly overrated. But still, that's a playoff. And the Giants haven't had many of those lately.
I just kind of remember, you know, Daboll being the OC for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Bills were like more unstoppable. Like they were just throwing it up. And he was so good with the Bills. But I don't know what he can do with this Titans roster, but man. I wouldn't be mad at head coach, I don't think. I mean, it really does suck he got fired. Like, I mean, I know they're 2-8. There's nothing, like, you can really do about that. But three of your, like, star players going down, and then your wins are against the Chargers and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, that's decent. For
solid wins.
Yes, very solid wins.
And, I mean, I know it was a monumental collapse, but if they had just not shot themselves in the dick against the Broncos, I mean, yeah, I think even if he wins that game, he still has a job, at least this week. I don't know about the rest of the season. But
yeah, it would have extended his tenure, I guess.
It's kind of like at least I think it's somewhat of a similar situation to the Titans firing Vrabel.
Yes.
Where it's like, yeah, the record is shit, but it's not his fault. Like, what is he supposed to do with this roster? Like,
we literally had 60 guys on IR.
Yeah. So I think it's a similar situation, but Giants. I mean, the Giants are the Giants. They're probably going to be terrible forever.
Yeah.
Probably.
If we're done on the Daboll talk, y'all hear about Tom Brady cloning his dog?
I heard about it.
Isn't that wild?
Why does that guy have to be so fucking weird? Like, just be a normal dude.
Yeah. How much do you think it is to clone a dog?
A lot.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it, but I guess it's not cheap.
It's gotta be.
It's
like,
not really that cheap to just buy a nice dog anymore. So if you have to clone it.
It's $50,000.
That's low.
That's it.
I thought it would be like at least a few hundred thousand.
I thought it'd be like in the millions. Yeah.
You're creating a life out of nothing. Well, DNA.
You're playing God for $50,000.
So he cloned the dog. Did he keep like the same name?
It's a different name.
Oh, what?
No, that'd be weird.
It's already weird.
That's crossing the line.
It's already extremely weird. I think it'd be funnier if he just kept the same name. Be like, yes, nothing. That dog never died. This is the same dog. That's probably not like a healthy, like psychological thing to do, but I don't think this is, I think this is just an extremely weird thing. Just be a normal dude.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's, it's kind of like, I'm just like at work and then I get this ESPN notification. Tom Brady has cloned his dog. And I was like, man, what do they come up with next? It's just like, this isn't sports news.
It's really not. Like, I don't know why ESPN is like turning into like, you know, TMZ or whatever.
I didn't think it was real. Like, I got that notification too. I was like, they must have got. There's no way this is real. And then I went on Twitter. It's like, oh shit, Tom Brady's a psycho. I mean, already kind of knew that, but this is disturbing.
I don't know.
Do we know how long ago he cloned his dog?
I believe he cloned it recently, but the dog that he had before the first one died.
The original.
The original, I think, like died like 2 years ago or something.
Okay.
Wait, so like he's had this clone dog for 2 years and we're just now finding out about it?
No, I think the clone is relatively new, but I think the original dog passed away like 2 years ago.
So he's just been sitting on this dead dog DNA for 2 years? That's enough time to move on, man. Get a new dog.
Who's to say?
I thought it was like the dog died like last week and he was like, it's just like a wreck emotionally. So he cloned it to keep it alive, essentially.
I could be incredibly wrong with the timeline, but to my understanding, it was, I don't know if he's just like kept the carcass or like had some hair lying around, but
should like that.
All right, this dog died in 2023.
I was so right. Boom.
So when did he just cloned it recently? Or just got, how long does it take?
Okay, so.
How long do you think it would take?
Well,
I don't think he's done it yet.
That's not what ESPN said.
But like, I think he has just like dropped off the like necessary thing, like the samples.
Yeah.
to the place.
To the cloning store.
Apparently, this is the same place that also cloned Barbara Streisand and Paris Hilton's dogs.
So, I forgot Barbara Streisand did that. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, people have done this before?
Yeah.
She did that like kind of a while ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
We've had the cloning. Like, didn't someone in Europe do that? Like, clone sheep? Like,
it was like the
kind
90s.
Of a while. Yeah, like a long
time. It was
time.
Like the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the cloned sheep in like fifth grade. That wasn't the 90s.
I remember being in like kindergarten and reading it in like a magazine or something, like looking at the pictures because I couldn't read yet. But I know that they clone the sheep. I could tell from contact clues. Magazines are just picture books. When you're a kid.
And then when I was in fifth grade, I was looking at a magazine, not reading, and saw that they cloned a sheep. I could have read it. I didn't. I looked at the pictures. Oh, the cloned sheep.
That's
wild. I did not know that this was a thing that people did before.
He should have just did what Herb Street did and buy like five dogs that looked just like your dead dog.
So
then paraded around for the entire world to see.
We don't have to keep talking about this dog, but it died in 2023, and this it sounds like this is a dog that him and Giselle had together. Like, was this a joint custody dog? Is he going to now have to, is she going to get the clone dog on the weekends, or
no.
Or is it because it's a new dog?
New dog.
Okay.
New dog.
Obviously, I don't know their arrangement on, you know, if they, if she was like, you take the fucking dog.
But, on clones?
Or just like visitation rights for, I don't know, for dogs.
For clones?
And obviously, they're children.
Attack of the Clones?
They also would have normal children.
That's what I said. Yeah. They're with their children.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I thought, okay, gotcha.
I was more or less focusing on the dog because that's the hot topic right now.
Yes.
That's so fucking weird.
Tom Brady's a weird dude.
Yeah. Kisses his dad on the mouth.
Kisses Robert Kraft on the mouth.
Kids on the lips.
Clones dogs.
But also, like, I mean, when you have, like, unlimited money, I don't know. Gotta do something to...
Yeah, you just signed that, like, black... You know what? This is suspicious. Now that, like, he signed this, like, deal to play, like, flag football with the Saudis, and now he's cloning dogs. Something's not right. He got paid a little bit more than...
Are the Saudis cloning him?
I don't know.
Who's to say?
Conspiracy.
That was his negotiations. Like, I'll play in your flag football league if you...
Please, I'll do anything.
I can't
just want my dog.
I can't play. Not without Fido.
Maybe this is a way of trying to get Giselle back. He's like, look, babe, got our dog back.
Mr. Peanut Butter's back.
Stop sleeping with that Taekwondo instructor, whoever the fuck.
Stop sleeping with my ex-personal trainer.
Oh, wait a minute.
There's someone like that.
True. Oh, I thought it was like just like her yoga instructor or some shit.
It was
Taylor's oldest time.
Like, I was just making shit up.
Okay.
Calling it fact.
You know, slander.
I'm sorry, Tom. I know you're a big fan of the show. shit. Anything else? I mean, the Titans had a bye, so we weren't sad.
I mean, just perpetually sad.
I don't care.
All right.
We're not going to win another game the rest of the season. So.
All right. Fair.
Yeah. Watch us fuck around and win. Sunday.
Don't put that in my head.
Oh, one thing we can talk about since this comes out on Friday. Chris is already dressed for the occasion, but the Preds play in Sweden on Friday.
Exciting. I forgot they're playing in that. Yeah, Kelsey said something about it. I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know they were doing that. That's cool. Who are they playing? Yeah.
The Penguins.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I hope we win.
Yes. I've been
I also hope
two
that.
Preds games in a week, and they both lost. They were both really tight games, but then they got their ass whooped last night.
Mm-hmm.
But Matthew Wood
looks good, though.
Matthew Wood, though.
I know we're a football show, but
yeah,
that Preds loss in overtime to the Wild, that was bullshit.
Yeah. If you go back like a couple minutes in overtime, you can see the play where the net got knocked off.
Oh, you did? I didn't see that. Yeah. I tried to avoid all things about that because I was just getting furious.
Yeah, it was like a minute or two before they were down in our zone, and like I can't remember exactly what happened, but like the net moved, which I mean, like it was such a soft kind of touch when it came off the pegs. So it was like, I mean, that had to have been it. Like you didn't,
yeah,
they didn't do their job. Now, like, it was the correct call in terms of like, if the goaltender like knocks the net off the peg, then like, yeah, they can award the other team the goal.
Oh yeah. Like, I knew that, but I didn't see how you could say like, oh yeah, he did that on purpose from that, just trying to move across the crease.
Yeah, like goalies do that like 50 times a game.
Yeah,
like,
And it was like, because obviously I was watching it, and then on the broadcast, Hal Gill and Chris Mason, well, all of them, but mainly Hal Gill and Chris Mason, were just kind of like, went, what? Like, this is essentially being like, this is bullshit, but TV words. And then, so I was like, okay.
Preposterous.
Yeah, I was like, okay, maybe this is just like, obviously they have to be biased a little bit. And then I was on Twitter that night, and just the general hockey Twitter consensus was, yeah, that's not, that was bullshit. And it's very rare you see people come together and support, or like side with the Nashville Predators on hockey Twitter. So yeah. I was like, if that's happening, then it must be actually bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that sucked. But
did we talk last week about that SNL skit?
No, but that was very funny.
I mean, watched like half of it, and I was like, all right, I'm really tired of these.
Like, did we talk about it though on the pod?
No, I think so.
Okay. So like the joke of the skit was that we're called the Predators, and mm-hmm. you know, it's like,
he was like, oh, the Predators,
pedophiles,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Like, and he was like, oh, I'm a predator in my community. And he was like, I can't, yeah. what?
yeah. And I just think this team has been around for almost 30 years. This is real low hanging fruit. Like, it's just yeah. like, it's kind of every berry has been picked off this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm glad to get, you know, like national like reputation from it, because like it's like, oh haha, like Nashville Predators. But yeah, it's just if people haven't realized that by now, you're just an imbecile.
You're a dill hole.
You are a dill hole.
This is so such, it's just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's such low hanging fruit. Like every like bad comedian that's been through Nashville is there like, did you guys know that your hockey team is called the Predators? Yeah, man.
It's all Chris what? Hansen.
Yeah, we fucking live here. Like use your brain. Like, you don't think we've heard this kind of joke before? come back later. Do better. Like it I'm sick of it. I'm gonna be real. I'm sick of the Predators jokes. Like, yeah. Okay, for sure. Like, I get it. But, like, it's such low-hanging fruit at this point. Like, God. It makes me sad, honestly, when someone says this joke. Because it's just like, dude, can you, like, think, like, for more than 30 seconds about a fucking joke?
Then I thought it was kind of funny. Again, going back to hockey Twitter, a lot of the jokes, or no, I'm going to say jokes, but, like, people coming after that sketch being like, oh, with the timing of the Vegas Golden Knights signing a person who is being actually accused of being a predator in his community. Carter Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Acquitted, no slander, but still. The timing of that, people were like, really?
Yeah.
The Preds rookie, the Preds did make a shirt that the rookies wore to, like, you know, go out the Boys and Girls Club, that says Preds in the Community. Yeah. And that's really unfortunate. And that's just that those kind of things have to be run by like 10 different people. And for not one person to be like, hey,
yeah,
this might not be the best idea. Is really, really unfortunate.
I've said this, but every...
Have you seen that picture, Will? You look confused.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. I was thinking about something.
Every, like, team, or really every company needs, like, someone on their marketing, like, board, team, whatever, that's just, like, online a lot and just sees how people shit talk on Twitter. So that needs to be the last person to sign off and be like, guys, like this.
This should be the first person.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, but that guy needs like to be like his opinion is like gospel, because yeah, that was. I remember that. I was like, okay, well,
yeah.
Not doing a good job trying to silence these jokes, but okay.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just like trying to lean into it and make it go away. Like, because the name is unfortunate, but it's what they're called and there's nothing we can do about it. So I think maybe they're just trying to lean into it a little bit and just like try and just sweep it, not really sweep it under. You're not really, you know what? The more I talk, I'm like, there's no way they can do that. There's no way they can like clean this up.
If they were trying to actually lean into it, that's hilarious to wear that to a Boys and Girls Club thing. Like if they were like, hey, like if somebody was like, hey, like this is what the jokes are going to be. But then someone else was like, yeah, we should just lean into it. That's hilarious in a very sick, borderline perverted way.
Yeah, I fully support leaning into jokes about yourself, but this could be a bit problematic.
This could be a bit problematic. You're right.
So, on one hand, it's like, you know, if they are leaning into it, you know, me as a regular person who doesn't take jokes as scripture, then I think it's hilarious. But like, you know, regular people who don't think like I think would think differently.
If they'd done it after the sketch, that would be better. Right. More obvious that you're leaning into it, but I believe it was well before.
they tweeted something about it. I just forgot what they said, but it was kind of like a little backhand. Like, I can't remember what they said, but
no one watches SNL anymore.
Probably not.
Are all your funny people are gone except for Keenan? Is he still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he is.
He's going to be there.
Is the sky blue?
Yeah.
Bobby Michaels might have
some shit on him.
And for his 50th season, Bobby Moynihan.
Keenan's on the Epstein list.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Jokes.
Jokes. Are we all going to take Phil to score then on Friday?
I think we have to.
I think it's only right.
I agree.
Because him and that other guy are like our only Swede. I can't remember his name. I used to know everybody in this
team. You said it was on Friday?
It's at like noon, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Other Swede.
I think we have another one.
Other Swede.
He might not be on the team right now, but
other Swede. I can't think of him, but my attention span with this team has been very low since basically the beginning of last year.
Adam Wilsby is the other Swede.
Oh. Yeah, well. Whoever we fucking put on right D. Like, because we don't have a right D. All we have is three strong lefts. Anyway. All right. I think that's as good a time as any to shut her down. Any comments, concerns, epic slams?
We've slandered quite a bit. I have much concern for this episode.
All right. All right, well, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate it. Check out the Trend Center app, link in the description. Use the code TFTM for 15% off a premium membership. The greatest tool on the planet for sports bettors. The NBA is back. The NHL is back. If you're not using this for midweek gambling, then I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're stacking wins.
Because they're not
the way to do it. Yeah, exactly. They're not. not unless they sign up with
the Trend Center app.
Unless they have the Trend Center app, using the code TFTM to save some money, to stockpile some money when you use the app. Or it'll trend that way. Anyway. And college basketball's back, so Chris is fully into that, and I'm sure he's using the Trend Center app.
Of course.
Quite frequently.
Of course.
Of course, follow the X to get Chris's daily college basketball picks. Me and Sean feel squirrely. I feel like that in the NHL is the NBA, and you know that as well. I think that's it. There's three of us. Now let's make it.
Woo! All right. You didn't know?